Allah Ta'ala states in the Qur'an Kareem, in the hadith it is stated, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on the day of judgment, on the day of Qiyamah, will address the people of Iman. And He won't just address, but rather He will give them something. He will give them a noor. He will give them a light. And this light will be powerful. It will be azim, great light, noor. And in reality, what will be this noor, this light? After dying, we will realize that how azim and how great and intense is that noor. And in which condition we will get that noor. How will we get that noor? That light, that illumination, where will this noor come from? And this noor, this light, where will it come from? Allah Ta'ala has arranged for this. Allah Ta'ala has prepared this. Allah Ta'ala has told us to prepare for this in the dunya, in the world. And that noor, that light, is that which is created alongside the performance of our a'mal, our deeds. So the deeds that we perform in this world will take the form of noor, of light. And that is the light that will be seen in the grave, on the day of Hashr, on the day of judgment, on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of resurrection, on the day of judgment. And that noor, that light, obviously when a person practices, then the noor increases. The noor increases, it increases, it increases, and it gets to such a stage, that person, that azim, it becomes a great noor, a great light with his deeds, due to the performance of the deeds. And what kind of amal are these? What kind of deeds are these that create noor or create the light for us in the hereafter? The pious predecessors have done commentary on this point. For example, this verse that I recited to you in the beginning, just now, alongside that Allah Ta'ala speaks and defines it, tells us about that noor and puts some conditions down, that what amal deeds do we have to perform? وَغْفِرْ لَنَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah Ta'ala says that amal, those deeds that a person performs with true tawbah, and the form of those deeds then takes on the noor shape, the format in the hereafter. So there's a condition when we perform the deeds that they should be free from the sins. When a person is free from the sins, that is when his deeds will have the impact and they will take the form of noor and light in the hereafter. And the biggest azim, the greatest light, which will be linked and proportionate to which deed? Tell me. Which one? Which deed will produce the most intense light? Think. What deed is there that we can practice in this world, in this life, before death, that it will become the greatest light, the most intense light for us on the Day of Judgment? There's a hadith in Mishkat, in the Sharah, the commentary, this point unravels, and the commentary explains to us and teaches us that when a person, an individual, 5 times salah, prayer, he prays regularly, on time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the salah, his salah, noor, light. And there is no deed akin to this deed. There's no kin parallel to this deed. There's no deed similar to this deed. The person who prays 5 times salah, and on top of that you pray nawafil, voluntary, tahajjud, awabin, chasht, after the mid-morning, and then you read Quran nicely, lengthy in that salah, then this will become the biggest noor light for us on the grave, on the day of judgment, in the grave. And this salah will be the most useful thing for us, commodity you could say, in the hereafter. Now which salah will be transformed into noor light? This is also important to look at. The tashreeh, the commentary. If I say I pray and this will become noor. It's just not that. Zayd prayed salah and his salah became noor for him in the hereafter. Bakr prayed salah and his salah became noor for him. First criteria, condition is in this verse. Rabbana atmimnala. Allah Ta'ala is noorana. That salah, which is salah, when you are free from the sins, when you are free from the sins and pray salah, then that salah will take the shape of noor and light. So we have to think about this. We have to think that we are wasting our efforts if we are not free from the sins. If we commit sins and we pray salah, oh, I prayed salah. Oh, you know, he prays, it doesn't matter if he's sinful. He prays at least, isn't it? This is a common statement today. Oh, my child, you know, at least he prays salah, even though he does all the other things. It's not a game, my friends. This is a big ibadah. From all of the deeds, it has the greatest rank. Allah Ta'ala selected this ibadah, this deed of praying salah, Many ulama ikram have said as well that this ibadah, for example, Quran, we got on the earth. Hajj was told to us on the earth. Fasting was prescribed to us while we were on the earth and explained. But Allah Ta'ala gave the gift of salah in the heavens. Think about the weightiness of this deed. Nur ala nur. Allah Ta'ala said that this salah was a gift given to my beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the heavens when he came to meet me. So how much nur there must be in this salah, in prayer. So if we've got aql, one is the aql, the intellect of the world to make profit. But one is the aql of the hereafter. A person who uses his aql, he should not waste his salah. He should not think it's a joke. He's eating haram, consuming haram, committing the sins, futile talk. Top to bottom, his body is depth immersed in haram, unlawful actions, unlawful consuming. Allah Ta'ala, and then we say, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah said, I'm going to give you a big noor. Crush your desires for a little while from today onwards. Be cautious in life. That be a bit careful, leave the sins, shun the sins, leave haram and lawful actions, and this amal of yours, this deed of salah will become noor for you in the hereafter. You understand what I'm saying? Big point. So we come to pray salah and we don't get the benefit. In other words, we're making the effort physically and the light doesn't come in our life. And we are like blind. We go into the grave and we're looking for the salah. Allah, where's my salah, my reward? Allah said, what salah are you talking about? The salah destroyed you. We used to backbite and then to prostrate at the same time. You used to consume haram. You used to eat haram in your stomach. And you came to the house of Allah and into prostration upon prostration. You used to backbite and slander and lie. You used to cast your evil eye towards every other angle that you could think of. From morning till evening you used to sin. And you used to wrap up the dun in your hands and sin. And you were so used to sinning that you think your salah is going to save you. So first is the targhib, that we pray, that's fine, we make the effort, that's fine, but we have to save ourselves from the sins first. Why are we told this? Why is the Quran explaining this to us, advising us? Because so that we can save ourselves from the darkness in this world and thereafter. We are wasting our own salah with our own hands, the same hand and body and limbs that we are using to pray, we're wasting the salah. What is salah? Look at this action. Allah says, وَغْفِرُ لَنَا. Do tawbah first. Allah, you send salah to me, I do tawbah to you, I repent, Allah, from today I will not commit this sin, your salah will be accepted. Waqfir lana. Allah Ta'ala says, I know, this is between me and Allah, I say, that Allah, I have committed a sin, I accept, and I've come to your house now, you've allowed me to pray, you told me to do tawbah, and my salah will be full of nur, so Allah, I do tawbah today, continuously I do tawbah, Allah, I regret, Allah, I committed sins, Allah, I am feeling remorseful, Allah, please forgive me. Have this feeling, be sincere, then your salah will be full of nur and light, and then that light will continue to strengthen and multiply. So this is the first condition, yes? Amal. Deeds. So this is the condition to make your deeds full of light. Then you have to commit the deeds, the good deeds, without sins in your life. Leave the sins, detach the sins from your body, your heart and mind and soul. Because you know the amal that you practice, we think, yeah, I'm running after the deeds, I'm a person, praise Allah. But guna, sins are so inferior to us. There's like a small speck of dust. And we say, oh, this is not a sin, because there's a veil in front of our eyes. But do yaqeen in what I'm saying, Allah Ta'ala says. Allah says, have yaqeen in what I'm saying, that sin is the greatest misfortune for a person. If a person sins, then game is over. If you think Jannah is going to be handed to you when you're sinning, then no, you have broken the trust with Allah. You failed the test. So the better thing is a person detaches all the sins from his life. So that's one point. Now, I was talking about salah, the biggest deed. So let's go towards salah, prayer. So the first condition, criteria for successful salah to be accepted is that when you pray salah, then your lifestyle and the practice of your life should not have sins included or involved in it. Secondly, is the salah, the second point is that you have to be regular and steadfast in salah. Adab, manners, in conformity with the sunnah practice. Totally nicely, with focus, attention and concentration. Your focus and concentration and attention should be where it should be. And ikhlas, sincerity. Allah saying, you think automatically you're going to get the noor of salah on the day of judgment? Can somebody make us save from the bridge of sirat? Can we fly through the bridge of sirat without any issues? We are people of iman, brothers. We have to strive all our life long. We have to strive and make effort. Yes, eat and drink, MashaAllah, eat halwa, parathe, and make effort physically that I must correct my salah. I am a bodybuilder. I am strong and powerful. Let me become the bodybuilder of the hereafter. Let me correct my salah in this world. He whose salah is strong and powerful and robust in this world, his akhirah will be robust. His day of judgment will be robust. Allah says, don't play the games with this salah. I have given you the total path of the hereafter. Jannah, paradise. Look at this. Look at this. So be steadfast, punctual. On time, not you prayed Farad, you prayed Fajr and you left Dhuhr, or you prayed Asr and you left Isha. Salah number two. Punctuality, steadfastness, regularity in Salah. Read Salah according to the adab and the manners. Do wudu correctly according to the sunnah. Be careful and cautious and do wudu correctly with satisfaction, easily, slowly. And you see people coming quickly, running in, running out. Yes, very, very fast. High speed. People are running around and they've got, you know, the miswak in their mouth, quickly doing wudu. They run in to the masjid, they're talking, then they go to the wuzu area, then they're talking about dunya. Oh, you know what happened today? Oh, what did you do today? Oh, he's gone here, oh, he's come back today, and he's doing wudu and the water's splashing on the next person. What's he preparing for? For the noor of salah. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Rabbana waghfir lana atmim lana noorana. Allah Ta'ala is explaining, what is this noor? Allah Ta'ala salah, my friends. So what's the start? Look at the start point. Step number one, leave the sins. Step number two, come in easy. Do wudu nicely. Do wudu with a miswak nicely. Sit down properly in the wudu area. And the best tariqah is that do wudu from home. You know, these wudu areas in the masjids, this is not for the whole of the society that we leave home and we sit down, everyone crowds out the wudu area. No, do wudu a few minutes before and come home. Has Allah Ta'ala not given you hot water at home? Has He not given you the bathroom at home? Why are you wasting the water of the masjid? Why are you wasting the energy of the masjid, the bill of the masjid? At least make an intention that I will save the consuming of the utilities and the bills of the masjid. Even this will be your biggest reward. I swear by Allah that be careful and cautious and have worry and regard for the masjid, that I can do this. I can do this, but no, I don't care. I come late 2 minutes before, then I'll open the tap, the water, hot water will be flowing, and then the boiler will have to be used more. At least make intention that I will not use the water unless urgent, and I'll save £3 for the masjid. Allah's given me a house, a bathroom, and a sink and taps. I can sit down, do wudu, and Allah's given me a towel. And on top of this, Allah said that the person who does this for my masjid, who saves the water in the masjid, and leaves from home and does this, on every footstep, Allah Ta'ala says, I will write for him a good deed. Rather, there's a big hadith in this, I can't remember, but I'll say this, but it's just coming in my mind, and subhanAllah, that the person will get the reward of making big striving steps in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a big reward. Because he's got caution and regard for the Asma. Not that we're miserly. Well, we don't want to use the water in the masjid. No, these are bad habits. Dirty habits. Oh, let's quickly run to the masjid. 2 minutes left to azan. Quickly do masjid in wudu in the masjid, in the wuzu area. Crowd out the wuzu area. It's all, you know, why? Make a habit. Let's all make a habit. 3 or 4 years it's been coming to Masjid Zakaria. Once my wudu broke and I realized that this is where the wuzu area is. I had to ask, where's the wuzu area? Subhanallah. And people are, mashallah, coming to pray. Salah. This is not pride. Why should we use the wudu area? You got a house, water, bathtub, sink. Everything's there. So I went off track, diverted. Stand up, hands up, who will practice this? But at least I should take the promise. Will you do wudu at home? And especially the Mawlana Hazrat, our respected ulama scholars. Because Allah Ta'ala has given us guidance. And we say, no, I'm not going to do wudu at home. I'm Mawlana, this is my masjid. No, have regard for the house of Allah. And we get spoiled. Mawlana Sahaba says, I do this and we all do this the same. Think, we have to give the answer on the day of judgment. We'll have to stand in line. That you utilize the water in my masjid. Why? Yes, did you not have water at home? Allah said, what if I turfed you out of your home? Then what would you have done? Okay, anyway, that's a side step. I've just gone to the end. Bit of reward we'll get. You will get. All of you have made intention and promise that you'll do wudu at home. And you'll do dhikr leaving the home in the state of wudu. And the angels will travel with you. Alhamdulillah. So I'll get some reward as well for the advice. So I was speaking about salah. Regularity and punctuality of salah. So salah. Remember, salah will be the deed on the day of judgment. Before all the deeds are laid out and presented in the grave. On the day of hashar, resurrection. On the day of qiyamah. In Jannah and paradise. Allah Ta'ala's vision. The sight of Allah, what will cause this all? The salah, the correctness of salah. We have Quran, we've got durood, all other deeds Allah has given us. Bonus is du'as and prayers. So, Allahu Akbar. So, the friends of Allah, they don't say things for nothing. When they used to pray Salah, their feet would swell in the night. They would stand to pray and the Fajr time would come. What was the reason? Because everything is concealed in Salah. All the rubuds are in Salah. Allah Ta'ala is acquired through Salah. Allah Ta'ala's sight will acquire through Salah. Sometimes in bowing position, in prostration position, in ruku, in sajda. Sometimes you're bowing in humility, you're asking. This is not some little thing. You're bowing down, you're rubbing your nose on the dust, you're standing up. This is the implementation and the proof of the ashik, the lover of Allah, that Allah, I am remembering you in the darkness, in the light, in the day, in the night. Allah Ta'ala says, be regular, steadfast in salah. Follow the adab, the manners, and the qualities of salah. And that salah will accept in number one, no sins. Number two, he does wudu. At home, he runs to the masjid. With focus and attention, he prays salah. That's it. That's it. And khushu. Khushu, focus. You cannot buy focus from the shop. Can you? Because if I can, then tell me where is that shop. I can buy bagfuls of this khushu and focus and attention, and I'll come home with those bags and utilize the khushu, focus and attention. When we wake up on the day of Qiyamah, then see the nur, the light that comes out from the body. Alhamdulillah, eyes will roll. We say, oh, this person in the world, we say he smells, he's nothing, he just prays all the time. Allah says, look at the light that will come from his body on the day of judgment. Alhamdulillah, he will shine and sparkle. Why? Because he practiced such a deed all his life. Salah with regularity and punctuality, khushu, and he had salah full of focus, attention and concentration. How do we attain this? How do we attain this? So we need to make the salah correct. We need to save ourselves from the sins. We need to be regular and punctual. Is this difficult? Say if it's difficult for you. If you think it is, the Hazrat, how can we do this? How can we have ikhlas? When you speak about ikhlas, it's too difficult for us. Then we remember the fighting at home, the quarreling, disputes. Oh, quickly, I've got to pray. You know, I've got to go shopping today. And there's problems. Where's this ikhlas going to come in my salah from? I don't have time for this. Where the khushu and the focus of attention? Ah, but Allah Ta'ala has prepared for this. Allah Ta'ala has prepared for this. So do you want to acquire all these things? Today you want to acquire them? Now you want to acquire them? Okay, let's go towards the hadith. The first hadith I recited to you or narrated to you, Mishkat. The person who wants all of this, raise your hands. Raise your hands. MashaAllah, well done. MashaAllah, well done. So, what is it now? What do we have to do? It's a very simple method. In the hadith, it is stated, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is such a practice, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Listen at least, listen to the hadith in full. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is such a practice that all of your deeds are illuminated due to the deed of dhikr. It makes them easy. It lights them up. It makes them beloved to Allah. So if you do dhikr, all your deeds are lit up and made accepted to Allah and full of nur. And on the day of judgment, your deeds will have be full of nur light. Which action? Dhikr Allah is the boost, the battery, the power. You know, we wander around in the masjids morning, night, and people say, the friends of Allah say, dhikr, dhikr, dhikr. The meaning of this is that your deeds, if you want to correct your deeds, get them accepted, you will not get focused from anywhere. If you do dhikr of Allah in abundance, inshallah, the condition and character of your salah will change. It will change. Test yourself. A person who, I'm speaking honestly now, okay? Be honest with yourself. A person who does Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, and if he has done dhikr and his salah has changed, raise his hands. If your salah has improved due to dhikr, raise your hands. Be honest. Has the change come in your salah? The way you used to pray before and after dhikr when you pray, has the change come in your life or not? Tell me. Has it come or not? Tell me. Of course it has. So, if we grab hold of this firmly, the dhikr of Allah, and do it regularly, then tell me how all of our deeds, how will it be that they won't be full of nur and that the change will not come in our deeds? The same Quran recitation we do. If we do it with the dhikr of Allah, then what does the dhikr of Allah do? When you remember Allah, the Quran, your recitation, the Quran becomes so beloved to you that the taste, you will feel the recitation taste. You will feel it. I won't name a brother, he's sitting here, brother, and I liked what he said to me, very beautiful words he said to me. And he will recognize who he is. I met him a few days ago and he said a beautiful thing. And I was given encouragement and asked him, you are new, mashallah. Tell me that what's the benefit of dhikr for you? And what is the reward? The reply he gave to me. You know, new people, they speak honestly, they're sincere. We will lie and try to cover up things. He said, dhikr, the benefit? Oh, but you've asked me the question. Alhamdulillah, the reply, he made me full of nur and light. He said, the benefit of dhikr for me is that when I do dhikr, then my mouth becomes sweet. Aha. He didn't even know before that. He said, I feel the taste, the sweet taste. I said, my son, you have taken all the rewards. We are so far behind. Tell me this taste. He said, dhikr. And the Quran bears tests, bears witness in the hadith and amalu salihat. They bear testimony to this fact that what is the effect of dhikr? If you leave dhikr and run away, no. No. If you want to correct, improve your salah, do dhikr of Allah. Regularly, punctually, morning and evening, regularly, learn dhikr from a shaykh, from a teacher, wali wallah, you've learned that dhikr and you do it. So where will you see the difference? Salah, we do dhikr, and where will the difference be made? In our ibadat, in our sujood, in our prostration, in our ruku, in our bowing. And our automatically heart will not want to do dirty actions to then pray salah after that. Our heart will not feel that we're not regular in our salah. Our heart will not feel that we don't fulfill the sunnahs of salah. Automatically the feelings and the desires will come to our life. Allah Ta'ala has put this power in the quality in salah, that a person who does this, then all of these good desires will come and bad desires will be eliminated. Isn't this correct? Isn't this what we should do? Let's do dhikr now regularly. Recite Durood Sharif.